back to this story. We even dress up for it. What's it all about? Why is it so important? It's about Jesus, of course. We all know that. That's the good Sunday school answer. But why Jesus? What makes him so special? Think of it. He was born more than 2,000 years ago, half a world away. What are we doing here? I realize that some of us this evening have very good answers to that question, and I don't doubt that the hive mind here is true. But it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was an ordinary guy in many ways. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me, a Jewish peasant, a carpenter's son. How do we even know about him this far along? Now, the truth is, Jesus was special, and the gospel writers try their best to tell us why, each in their own way. Now, early in the story, we see that Jesus was a captivating teacher and healer, unlike anyone else in his day. We also discover him as a kind of compassionate, revolutionary leader, someone who welcomed people on the margins and stood against oppressive powers. By the end, he's presented as the long-awaited Messiah, the true King of Israel, come at long last. This is what Isaiah had seen centuries earlier in our first reading that Jamie read. There's one coming, he says, one who will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. It's also what the angels announced to the shepherds in our gospel reading. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Yes, Jesus was special. But there's more. We get hints of it all over the place in the gospel. In the encounters Jesus has with people from all walks of life, seemingly chance moments that leave people reeling with amazement and dumbstruck for joy. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. There's a mystery here, an amazing truth that's hard to express in words. Again, Jesus is a very ordinary person, not unlike you and me. But somehow, he is also, as the Creed puts it, very God from very God. And we've probably wondered from time to time what God is really like. If he even exists, we know moments like that, don't we? Maybe desperate moments when we've wanted God to show himself and reveal what life is all about, what we can count on as lasting and true. Let's pause on Jesus. What if it's true? What if this is what it looks like for God to appear in the flesh? To appear not just to dazzle and impress, but to come intimately close to touch and transform every part of human life by sharing it with us. Imagine the human life as we know it, with its fleeting moments of joy and contentment, its disappointments and its failings, even its apparent absurdity and tragic endings. This is who God is. In the body of Jesus, he touches all the broken places as a newborn baby, as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, all the stages, all the way out. Jesus lives it all and takes it all into himself. Even the death that will die. And he transforms it, bending it to the fullness of life that we dream about and that we hope could be true. And it's easy to imagine that death has the final answer, but it doesn't. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he's opened a new horizon, a path that leads to everlasting life. And it begins here and now. It begins in Bethlehem with a baby lying in a manger. This is why we're here today. Yes, we're here to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And who doesn't love a good birthday? Even more, we've gathered to celebrate the new life that begins with Jesus. So, how should we receive this good news? What are we to do? You know, there are two things that stand out for me in our gospel reading for this evening. Firstly, let's hear the angel's message of assurance and peace. Beyond what we could expect or imagine, God has done good things for us, for the whole world. And there's freedom to rest in that, to leave our fear and anxiety behind, and to celebrate the promises that have come true in Jesus. But secondly, let's follow the example of the shepherds. They not only receive the angel's word, and they revel in it, but they go searching. It's not enough for them to have a spiritual experience. Notice what the shepherds do. They follow the signs to Bethlehem. They tell their story when they get there. They burst out with thanksgiving and praise. This is important. The angels announce peace, but they don't pacify. They give assurance, but they don't appease. If the good news about Jesus is true, it changes everything, top to bottom. It means God is with us in the good and the bad, bearing us up to new life. And it won't let us settle in with resignation and complacency merely to get by. No. The good news startles us awake, brings us to life, and sends us off to look, to share, and to give thanks. It sets us on a path with Jesus to share in the life that he lived, and the death that he died, freely spending ourselves in love, that we might rise up with him on the last day, the ultimate Christmas day, when in the words of Sister Julian, all shall be well, and all shall be well, when all manner of things shall be well. And this can be a busy time. Christmas week can easily get away from us. Let's allow the good news to sink in deeply, to settle into our lives and into our hearts. We're not alone. God is with us. He is for us. And in Jesus, he is making all things new. Amen.